Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to John chapter 8. We began last week with the woman caught in adultery. Tonight we pick up the next stage, a revelation of Jesus. Last week we saw that he is the one who is without sin, who can cast the first stone. I tell you, as we pick up this morning, I am sure of this, though she wasn't present for it. When Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, the people that know that and the people that understand that, the people that have been in darkness, like the woman who had an angry mob around her that was going to stone her and now has life because of this Jesus, understands the weight of what Jesus says when he says, I am the light of the world. I hope this morning, as we go through this word, that you know this about Christ. As he proclaims what is true, he speaks what is true, so that we might not wander around in this world grasping at all these different things or in the depths of despair, to know that it is Christ that gives light and hope and life. I pray that that's what we know when we read this passage this morning from John. Chapter 8, beginning with verse 12. Let me pray first. Our God, we thank you for your son Jesus. We thank you that you sent him into the world as the light of life. Lord, I pray that Christ would shine brightly this morning. That you'd be hope and life, salvation unto us who sit under this word. I pray, Spirit of God, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our ears, that you would help our hearts to be receptive to this word. I pray that it would fill us with joy to see our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Verse 12 says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it's not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. I said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. But no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. This is the word of the Lord for his people. Amen. Jesus is using here his second I am statement, a revelation of God to the people. The same kind of revelation that God gave to Moses at the burning bush when he was given instruction to go and speak to the people. Moses says, who am I who do I tell them sent me? God says, tell them I am who I am. And Jesus is picking up that language here as a revelation of his being, of his oneness with the Father. And so we're on our second one. And Jesus here uses this I am statement to proclaim his identity clearly to these men who challenge him. And as you'll see as we go through this passage, they have no idea what he is talking about. We're going to consider three things this morning as Christ is revealed to us from this word. First, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Two, Jesus is the judge of the world. Jesus is the judge of the world. And lastly, Jesus is the only way to know the Father. First, Jesus is the light of the world. I walked out into my yard the other day and was thinking about illustrations for light of the world. We hardly need it. You know, a child, you understand in the darkness, you love the light. And I was standing outside, I looked towards our dry ditch and I saw this giant tree, and a tree underneath it was leaning to the side and it was growing up this way, and the tree above it's five times its size, and yet here's this little tree that over the years, in order to get to the light, has been growing this way and stretching out so that it might find the light. This tree that has no brain instinctively grows and knows that if it wants to live, it has to be in the light. Its roots go down into the ground. It needs two things. It needs water and it needs light. The very things, the very images that Christ has been using as he teaches the people. He expresses to the woman at the well, I am the living water. Found in me is life. And the same thing is said here in our passage. I am the light of the world. And all of nature knows this already. Without a brain, it instinctively goes towards the light. Jesus now brings that to bear in the dark world to those who should have known it best, those who are made in his image. John 1 sets us up for this passage. It tells us, and Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Whatever you may be straining for in life, for fulfillment and hope, Jesus is telling us, if it not be this light, then it is not life. I want you to hear that clearly. Where you rest your hope matters. We're all stretching out for something. And Christ tells us in his second I am statement that it should be him if you want everlasting life. He says in verse 12, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What's darkness? It's the absence of light. Darkness knows nothing of light until it is present among us. That's the state of the world. And Jesus' statement means that the world has been in darkness before his coming. It's almost like he's the son of Psalm 19 that runs its course and nothing is hidden from its heat as it goes over all the earth. He is that kind of son. And as Jesus speaks, the darkness is multifaceted. There's been a darkness in the Old Testament. In fact, a couple weeks ago when Matt preached, he exposed that it's the end of the Feast of the Tabernacles on the eighth day, and they're sprinkling their water around the altar, and Jesus stands up in the middle of a crowd. You know, it's provocative. Imagine if you all are having your own conversations, and I stand up, and I get your attention, and I say something. Well, he stands up, the crowd goes silent, he says, you don't have to pour the water out anymore. I am the living water. I'm here. You see, that's the darkness they've been in. There's so many of those images in the Old Testament that point to the coming of Jesus Christ. There's been shadow and imagery, and now Jesus is standing here saying, I'm the light of the world. Something better has come. And yet that's not the only darkness that he might be talking about. There's a darkness in the world that is sin and death. Now, if you're a patient and you go to the doctor and he discovers some sickness that is going to kill you, you're crushed and you're in despair. But if he then says, you know what? I have the cure. I have the way that you can be healed. What would you do? You know, I don't know. I'm not really interested. No, you would understand the darkness of that kind of situation. And when you heard the kind of light that would be, I have the cure, what would you do? You would follow that doctor. You would go where he takes you and do what he says. And that's what Jesus is proclaiming now in John 8. He says to these Pharisees, you've been so wicked. What a kindness. I'm the light of the world. Follow me. Senator, that's your hope. The whole world is in this darkness. It's the only light. It's the only thing that can save you, is what Christ is saying here. Isaiah 9 says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. I tell you, when you understand how dark sin and death is, you would never have anything else. Colossians 1 fills in even further that of Isaiah 9. Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is stating here his mission statement. It's why he came. His purpose of coming was to bring light into a dark world, a place that is despairing, a place that is lost, a place that's wandering around in the pitch black looking to something to cling to as if it could save them. I better not shut my eyes on the side of the stage when I do that. Wandering around in the dark. So he states the key action. It's not merely, I know Jesus. This is more than just recognizing that he is the light. It says in verse 12, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What is required? It is to follow him. That's faith. Trusting him. Going where he leads. And not always understanding. You know that, right? Why is this happening? Lord, this is so dark to me. This is certainly the valley of the shadow of death. I can't see anything. Yet here is a light in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. Is that Christ is with you, that you are never far from him, that you have all of his promises. If you follow him, you are following the thing that leads you to eternal life. Which means whatever it might be, it will not overcome that, and that includes the grave. He says it, and he means it. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's the kind of light that lights your path, as Psalm 119 says. That's the kind of light that led the Israelites in the wilderness. That whenever that light stopped, that burning cloud stopped, Israelites, you stop and you trust him and you obey him and you set up your camp there till that light moves, and when it moves again, you follow it and you go where it leads, and that is the best when you're in the middle of a wilderness. Jesus is the light of the world. And as light, Jesus is better than the morning dawn of a new day, for he is the dawn of a new life. Whatever you're following in this life does not offer these promises. It isn't the best college you could possibly get into or the best career. It isn't the nest egg that you're hoping and counting on that will be with you in those years of retirement. It isn't the neighborhood, it isn't how people see you, it isn't your status, it isn't the best diet or exercise. All these things fade. All these things will leave you. They may provide comforts, but without Christ, they are false hope. He is the light that provides everything. So much so, there won't even need to be a sun in the new heavens and the new earth. this light will shine as the sun in all his glory. Nothing that you could buy on the earth could ever gleam like that. It could never give you promises like that. Jesus stands here and says, I'm the light of the world. Now earn it. No, I didn't. Follow me. Follow me is the invitation. And it's yours. The light of life is yours if you follow him and trust in him. What could the Pharisees possibly have to say to this? I mean, they can be angry, but they could never claim to be the light of the world. I mean, they barely get out of their own country, right? The mission for Abraham was for the whole world. Well, this light's not even willing to go beyond the borders. We've seen what little regard they have for their own people last week and the week before that, much less anyone that's not a Jew. He's gonna challenge that the rest of chapter 8. You see that they're already defeated. Every time they come with a challenge, they can't trick this man, and so they come. We'll look at our next point. Jesus is the judge of the world. Verse 13, their response to Jesus saying he is the light of the world is, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. In fact, this is what they're saying. Jesus, you're a liar. You can't just declare yourself the GOAT, Jesus. You know what that means? The greatest of all times. You can't just walk in here and say, I'm the best there ever was. Don't you hate the... You talk to someone and go, yeah, I'm the best at that. You know, you can't just do that. That has to be earned. It's like a Michael Jordan. This may be offensive for anybody that likes some of the newer players. I think he was the greatest of all time, and I think he proved that time and time again. Now, he didn't just claim to be the greatest of all time. Everyone witnessed it and said, there's no one like him. He makes the other people that play against him look like children. The same for Simone Biles, if you will. They have to give her a different scoring system because the other people can't even do what she does. There's no doubt when you see it that it is the greatest of all time. And they're looking at Jesus and saying, who do you think you are that you can just claim you're the greatest, that I am the light of the world? Intending to say, there is no other apart from me. I am the light. You're a liar, Jesus. As if to ignore the reasons they're angry at him. It's because he's made someone be able to walk who couldn't walk. He has done miracle after miracle. He has fed the hungry. He has bent down to the weak and the needy, and he has loved them. He has shown how he is a fulfillment of the word. The arrogance, the absolute blindness, willful blindness, by the way. I call him a liar. I once went on a tour in a cave, and when you get down at the bottom, if you've ever done this, they love to say, now we're going to cut the lights out. And so you pick your spot, make sure you're not on one of those drop-offs, you know. And they cut the lights out, and it gets so dark you can feel it. You can. It's strange. And you can put your hand up in front of your face, and you know it's right there, and you can't see it. And you reach out for something to stabilize yourself, and then they throw it back on, and there is no denying now the difference between darkness and light. You'd be a fool to say to the person next to you on that tour, go, this isn't light. Enter the fools. All that Jesus has been revealing and saying, they look at each other and go, that's not light. They stand there as judges. They have the audacity before Jesus to judge him. To tell him, no, Jesus, you'll answer to us. And Jesus' answer to them is, listen, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. You have no idea where I came from or where I am going. Where do you sit in the room this morning? Do you know where Jesus came from? And when he says where I'm going, can you honestly answer, according to the Word of God and the revelation given to us in this Word and in Jesus Christ, that you know where you are going? You know, we don't like what instinctively, just as human beings, what Jesus is saying here about him being the judge, him being the greatest. We don't like when our self-autonomy and our pride is hit, when we don't get to make decisions about what is true and what is not true. The claims of Jesus that he makes. We want to be the judge. And the best we can do, because we can't see the heart, is judge from the outside. That's what the Pharisees are doing here. That's what Jesus means when he looks at them and says, you judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And what he's connecting those two there. He's saying, I don't judge according to the flesh. We judge by what we can see on the outside. We're good at decorating that up. Jesus judges according to the heart and what he sees on the inside. Tell you what Jesus says here about himself. You may sit here and go, okay. You might sit here and go, I don't know. I'll take some of that. Some of it, yeah. I can see some of that being true. The fact is, you don't get to judge. The Scripture's not actually calling you to read this and judge what is true or not true. What it's telling us here is Christ is truth, and you will sit under the judgment of this truth, and instead you better listen to what he's saying. You better come to the light like a moth to the flame, or you are left in darkness. You better look to this light as desperate as you would a sailor on the seas in a storm and knows there are rocks ahead and you are scanning. Where is the lighthouse? I know there's safety. It's not for us to sit here and judge Christ's claims. Christ is saying it, and he says, it's true. I know who sent me. The Father in heaven did. I know where I came from, and guess what? I'm going back there. And right now, in this world, the truth walks among you, and it's not too late to come to the light. It's true for you this morning. Because one day, as Jesus tells him there, you will sit under this judge. And you either know him or you don't. You either walk in darkness or you have come to the light. He's so kind to tell us. He's so kind to seek us out when we're in darkness. What a Savior. Then he makes this statement to them in verse 16. Even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it's not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. You know, it's the law. He's speaking of the law here in Deuteronomy. It says that there has to be two witnesses. Jesus doesn't declare by fiat here, I'm the goat. He says, my Father will attest to it. In a moment, this will get pretty funny in the next point. At every step of the way, he keeps the law. Jesus doesn't bear witness about himself, though his early argument seems to say, I could, but I won't. Jesus does nothing out of out of accord with the Father. And so he declares to them that he has a witness. He has his Father. What's your judgment of Christ this morning? We've seen earlier in John, a lot thought he was just a good man or a good teacher. You might think to yourself with disappointment in your life, I have had a lot of hardship. I've had a lot of things, I followed you, Lord, and I've had a lot of things not go my way. Life hasn't satisfied my every desire. Is that your fault, Lord? Do I really have to submit to your authority, God? He is the Savior of the world. There is no one like Him that has ever walked this earth. He is the one who founded the earth. He is the one who speaks truth and life. And you sit under Him, and He doesn't come here and strike us dead as we deserve. But He says, will you just see that I'm light and I'm life? The darkness that the earth was cast in back in the fall, He has come to undo Himself. And it's not to leave us here. And it's not to condemn us, as He said last week, or to cast us into hell, but to say, come, come, now is the time to come. What a gracious judge then. That's the kind of judge you can come before if you submit to His authority and His rule here. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to move us to the next point. Man, this one. Our last point, Jesus is the only way to know the Father. How this must have offended these Pharisees. They kind of laugh at Him. They mean it as a mockery in verse 19. It's both funny and profoundly sad. They say, well, where's your Father? As if they're looking around the crowd going, okay, so you brought your witness. Well, where's your dad? Where's your Father that we might hear from Him as well? They're making fun of Him, and yet it reveals how profoundly the darkness has its hold on people in this world. John warned us when he opened the book. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. They have more problems in recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus says, because you don't recognize Me, you have no idea who the Father is. Now say that to the religious class. Front of other people, possibly. You have no idea, basically, who the God of Abraham is. If you don't recognize Me, you don't know Him. For all their learning and for all their quoting, they are no more familiar with Him than pagan Rome. They are uncomfortable with Jesus because they don't recognize the Father's voice. He's the Word of God who's come down from heaven. He is the revelation of God. And all these I Am statements are further and deeper revelation of Him. And when He speaks, He doesn't say anything on His own accord. He says exactly what the Father would have Him say. And He reveals what the Father would have us know. And so when He speaks, they're not only blind in their darkness, they are deaf in their ears. This is the Word of God that He speaks to His people. I'm the light. Follow Me. And Jesus is speaking clearly here. He says, after they say, where is your Father? You know neither Me nor my Father. If you knew Me, you would know my Father also. On this social challenge, He closed the book. They've lost in multiple ways throughout the debate. But here He tells them, they have lost everything that they have held precious. They don't know God. Now, the reality is, the weight of what he's saying here matters. You ever thought about or wondered what it will be like when you leave this world? When you stand before God, you can't stand there and say, I don't know who he is, but I know who you are. You must, in order to know God, to reside with him forever and ever, and to have your sins forgiven and to have everlasting life, the only way is to acknowledge the Son. And in doing so, you have embraced the Father. But without the Son, there is no hope. There is no God, whatever you might think you know about him. You do not know him without the Son. I've heard it said so many times. You know the way I know God is I go out in nature and I see the most beautiful things. No, you know something of God, but you don't know God. The intimate knowing of him. You see what's clearly displayed in creation, but apart from his word, and that being the very word of God, Jesus, you do not know him. And if you do not know him, then you are cast into darkness, and it is a fearful thing. And you have every reason to despair, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Man, light. We don't always like the light. We don't like what it exposes. I woke up this morning and flipped on the light and my hair was a mess. When the light shines in those dark places of our heart and exposes our sin, it's nasty. He doesn't do it to hurt us. He does it to save us. The irony of the gospel is this: when I am charged as guilty by the judge, that I can receive the verdict of grace from God. It is only when I admit to being what I am not supposed to be that I can be declared what I do not deserve to be. That is what the Father intends by sending the Son on mission into the world as light. Whatever path you may be walking, walk with the Son and follow him. Amen. Let's pray.